Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Welcome back.
Oh, no. Sorry. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Hello. No. Hey, Aaron, is this thing on? Can you hear me?
I hear you. Welcome back to Okla Said. It is the official Okla Ed podcast. This is episode 82 in real time. You've heard some replays here and there, so it might not look like that on your streaming device, but this is our 82nd episode of Okla Said.
Hey, guess what?
What?
Okla Said's going to have a live deal coming up in just in a couple months.
I am aware of that now.
So,
thank you for submitting us.
So the Okla Said will be live at the Encyclomedia Conference in Oklahoma City. We're not sure what day yet. We haven't been given our assignment, but it will be at the Okla Said or at the Encyclomedia OTA Conference, downtown Oklahoma City, in late November. So do come visit us. We want to make it a fun time.
We should Twitter source some topic ideas so that we can speak to what they want to hear.
And when we've done live stuff in the past, audience participation critical, because we try and include our audience in everything that we do when we do the live things. So this will be our third one. I'm excited. And each time it's been super fun.
So do you remember the very, very, very first time?
At the iPad-a-palooza.
Yes. And do you remember all the cameras that were like circulating around us?
And
the four people that were in the room?
And there were more people at the next one at EdCamp OKC. I remember that. I remember it grew.
I do too. And we asked them to be a part of that conversation. So that was really exciting.
That was exciting.
So maybe you'll get to be a part of this conversation at Encyclomedia OTA in November.
I think it's like November 29th. Don't hold me to that. But as soon as we find out exactly when and where, we will let you know.
So this week's Twitter chat was hosted by Elizabeth Sudith. She is at @ElizabethS_OK. She is the Director of Prevention Services at the Oklahoma State Department of Education. And I had not seen her before, you know, seeing that she was going to be hosting a chat. Her topic was on school connectedness, and I was really appreciative of her interview to find out just a little bit more about her.
Yeah, she was good. We're connected. I've seen her in and out, but not necessarily in chat, but in and out of the Okla Ed thread. So
you're way more observant than I am.
So I had seen her there, but I you're right. I don't think she was in Okla. I don't think she's participated in an Okla Ed chat. So she had some really good questions.
I thought so too. I thought so too.
And her profile picture, she looks like she's all of 23. she looks like, really young.
She's a genius.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, question one.
Mm-hmm.
School connectedness has been proven to be the strongest protective factor, just behind family connectedness, to emotional and social, to improve social and emotional health, increase school attendance, and decrease office referrals. Reading. What is your go-to strategy to promote connection with students in your school, classroom, or office? So what kind of stuff did you use?
So here's what I suggested on this one. And Todd Gregg and I had a really interesting side convo as it related to this tweet. But I said, require every student to participate in at least two things.
Okay.
Period. Like you don't have a choice. I don't know. Whatever you pick it, but you've got to participate. Okay. You have to do drama and football, or art club and stucco, or just something along those lines. Because in Oklahoma, there's an expectation that for those kids that participate in those activities, keep their grades or they can't participate. So when everybody's doing it and you don't get to, you become connected to what's going on. Yeah, hello, that was me this time.
I haven't never gotten before.
So, anyway, his response to that though was, what about kids that have to work right after school or something like that?
And so
I get that, but is there a way we can just think more creatively about our school day on some of those activities?
I think that's a good thing to consider. Yeah. And we may ask Mr. Bennett what he thinks about that.
Yeah.
So. I chose Stephanie Peppers on this one. She is at Nerdy Firsties. She said, being connected across other classrooms and grades is important at our school. We use each other as buddy teachers, and it really helps kids take a break and get refocused. And it helps with de-escalation as well.
Yeah, I like that. I went with Christy Coop here. She said, my strategy is easy. I listen to my students, then give them my 2 cents. I also try to get as many Del City. I try to go to as many Del City events as I can. I even went to a cheer competition yesterday, which is like my worst nightmare. But I went to support my kids.
She is so sweet.
Yeah.
Like, but I get it.
Right. Me too. So there you go. Question 2. Even just one positive adult relationship can increase a student feeling connected to school. What a positive adult relationship. What positive adult relationship do you remember as a student, or a time you thought a teacher really cared? Or give a shout out to someone who is great with student connection in a school.
So that's a great question. I like that she lets us find that adult positive relationship, if we're going to call it out. Jeffrey Corbett, who is at Jeffrey Corbett, says, my high school science teacher would give me articles on microgenetics and let me do an independent study on those subjects my senior year because there was no higher level class for them. I'll never forget, and he shouts her out, Teresa Rader at Sequoia
Claremont.
Yeah. And I think that's great. And, you know, Jeffrey is not a student.
He's older now.
He's older now. And so I would like to also shout out to Miss Teresa. Like, hello, student voice and student choice. Mm-hmm, you are ahead of your time, girl. Way to innovate.
Yeah. Super amazing. I went with Shane Sanders here. He said, I remember our phone was disconnected growing up, and my elementary school principal, Mr. Hinton, drove to our house to check on us. Eyeball emoji. My gym teacher, Mr. P, at Steed Chargers, also showed that he really cared by building relationships with us and holding us to high expectations.
I like that.
Yeah, that's really great. I can't say that I had one teacher that just poured into me any different than any others, but I had some coaches that were important to me, and not necessarily out of school connectedness, but I admired them and I admired their character. I had teachers that I admired, but I don't know that I had anybody that impacted me in that kind of way. Like, I loved my calculus teacher, Lou Ireton. I've talked about her before. She was phenomenal. But she didn't necessarily touch me in this kind of way with drawing me in to connect me to school.
So
I already liked school.
I know I've talked about Miss Wolgamuth before.
Wolgamuth!
I know. But I remember my second time in fourth grade.
Yeah.
Not everybody gets to do fourth grade twice. but my second time in fourth grade, I was sitting like day one or day two at my little pod with the other four people in my group. There were five of us.
Right.
This little group. And I've just got like the biggest visual of this, and I get a chuckle every time I think about it. But she was, I was like, oh, we're about to, we were about to cut out our all about me's and then like glue them onto a separate piece of paper. And I was like, oh, we're about to do this. And we did this last year and it was so much fun. And I already know what we're going to do because we did it last year. Like braggy about like, I already know
what's going on, guys. Just hang on. It's going to be awesome.
And she said, you don't have to tell everybody you've already done this if you don't want to. And I know now as an adult, she was like trying to say, hey, you're probably going to give yourself a little stigma there if you keep going that way. I just remember being like, so like humble brag. Hey, I've done this before. Yeah. I've got this.
Word home slices. I'm on round 2, fourth grade. Take that.
Not everybody else so brags about it. So
that's pretty funny.
Probably going to use that social and emotional growth for that year. So.
That's hilarious.
Question three. When schools make meaningful and relevant to their students,
learning.
Sorry. Yeah.
We are having a hard time reading today, Erin.
I think it's the rain. Question three. When schools make learning meaningful and relevant to their students' lives, students develop agency over their own education. How do you learn about your students' community and lives to connect learning to home and, from home to the classroom? How do you do that?
I don't know. That's the trick, isn't it? Like, if we can figure out a way to do that on a consistent basis, won't that make all the difference in the world? I mean, yeah. Write a book about it.
Are you?
No, I'm saying if you can find the silver bullet on this question.
Oh, right.
Write the book and let us all know, because dang.
I mean, I answered something similar to this in one of my classes the other night. Like, I floss with them. I sing and rap with them. They think I'm a goof sometimes. I mean, a huge goof. Here recently, the new thing. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm about to drop it to you.
Okay, I'm ready. I'll catch
just
it.
Just say, okr.
What?
I messed it up. Okr. Okr. Anyway, it's like this okr thing.
What are you doing? I can't even. Like, I'm trying to look at your mouth when you do this. You're doing something with your tongue.
Is it? It's some chick out there in the world that is, like, popular in the cultural, and she's culturally relevant somehow to the teenagers.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's what she does. She's like, oh,
and she does a little trill.
Yeah, she does this little trill thing. My students, if they listen to this, they're going to be like, you didn't say her name. Anyway. Cardi B.
Oh, okay. Maybe? I think, is that the lady with all the big red lipstick?
Dude, I really don't even know. I just know.
Or is Cardi B the rapper?
Yeah.
Okay.
But she does this like thing. Hmm. Anyway, so you know, I this is something. Just if you're participating in their fun, it connects things. It makes them. I mean, if I were still teaching, right, and I pulled that out in a lesson, like, does everybody get me? Okay, you know, yeah. I mean, like, they're gonna die laughing. They're engaged. They're it's them. It's doing what they're doing, and I think that helps make things a little more meaningful and relevant to what's going on with them. So just paying attention to what they're doing, what they're into, you know, not. Anyway, that's how I did it.
That's one way to do it.
That's how I did it.
That's how you did it. I tried to floss too, but man, it's terrible. It's not called flossing. It's called quit embarrassing yourself. That's what it's called.
Some of us have a little more rhythm than others.
Yeah.
That's all. Anyway, Shane Sanders says breakfast, lunch, after school pickup. These are the best ways for me as an administrator to tap into the lives of the kiddos. Good convos help build relationships that correlate to the real world, making connections in the classrooms and lessons, social expectations in the building. Mm-hmm.
Those are some good ideas right there. I went with Mr. Mitchell. He's at Guy Mitchell 14. He said, while this is an old tool, it still works. I always ask my kids about their weekends and nights, even if the answer is it was good. That will open the door for later down the road to getting deeper and more connected. And it's funny what you can learn when you just ask a student a question and then listen. So.
Anyway, so that's one way.
Question four, follow up. Oklahoma is made up of unique diversity, and intergenerational trauma is something we must acknowledge in our schools. Students don't always see themselves represented in teachers, academics, and leadership. This can drive disconnection not only from students, but families as well. How do you promote a culturally responsive / sensitive classroom or school?
That's a great question.
I feel very unqualified to answer that.
Yeah, I was going to say, me too. And this is where, if you listen to her interview, she will give you some information. But I gave what I thought was going to be an okay answer. She and I were having that conversation, and this intergenerational trauma came up. But then I started thinking about it even more. Okay, so I'm gonna delve in somewhere here. and Follow Me.
Okay.
I'm reading that book, White Folks Who Teach in the Hood and All Y'all Too.
Right.
Which ticked me off for like the first 70 pages, and now I'm like, preach! Like, he needed to get our attention, and then he's really diving into some really good stuff. But initially when I was upset, I was like, man, this is crazy, because like I know through conversations with Vanessa Perez, through conversations with just people out there, there is racism. I do know that. But nobody in my world shows it explicitly, so I guess I kind of live in a bubble, and that's fine. And then I was thinking, because I saw a tweet a couple of weeks ago, Ruby Bridges, the first black girl integrated into white schools, mm-hmm. turned 64 this year.
Wow.
So when you really start thinking about that, okay, we're not that far removed from, you know what I'm saying? Not
right.
That's an excuse by any means, but we ended slavery in 1865.
Right.
In 1964, 100 years later, 99 years later, we end segregation, and we have the Civil Rights Act, and we're now, you know, here in 2018, and Ruby Bridges is 64. My mom is 60. You know, like, I was like, okay, we're not that far removed from it. In some ways, if I'm not living in a bubble that's got explicit racism, then we're doing way better. But I know it still exists, and we've got so much to overcome.
Right.
But then I'm starting to think intergenerational trauma here, like... was it you and I talking about families before? Like, my family's dinner conversations about politics and stuff may be completely different than somebody else's family dinner conversations, who might be Mexican American, Latino, I mean, like,
whatever.
Native American, like people who have in their parents' lifetime seen and have been witness to and experienced this crap that we've had going on in American,
right.
You know, history. And so part of me is like, okay, we still have a long ways to go. But then the other part of me is like, we're not that far removed from it. It just really put it into perspective. And I don't know, I felt really sad about it. And I'm sure I sound like the whitest person in America talking about it right now, but this intergenerational trauma is something we really need to think about and look at, because our students' grandparents experienced real racism.
Right.
Hello.
Yep.
Anyway. Did I make any sense?
No,
there?
You did. I caught you. I'm smelling what you're stepping in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mike Dunn, who is at Mike_D, he says, stay up with the topics that are relevant on social media. It's how our kids get their info these days. Listen to what makes them tick and what gets their blood hot. Don't pretend to walk in their shoes, but empathize with them and let them know you're in the bunker with them.
Yes.
And I thought that was really important, but especially what gets their blood hot. And don't pretend to walk in their shoes, but empathize. I just thought that was really impactful and worth saying and retweeting. So
yeah, that
there
was
you
a good
go.
One. So I went with Mrs. Talani Norfar, who's hashtag freaking awesome. And she she is at TH Norfar. She said, I have to admit, this is different for me. Most of my students are of color like me. This makes them feel comfortable, and sometimes they say inappropriate things. I have to work on them being sensitive to each other.
Aw.
So I thought that was interesting.
I bet having her as a teacher, is going to be impactful anyway. But
yeah.
When she says most of them look like me, that's got to make a big impact
yeah.
as well.
Right. I think that's super important.
Yeah. Question 5. Schools that focus on student connection should have been shown to dramatic... Not should have.
Have, sheesh, have been.
Scott. Question 5. Schools that focus on student connection have been shown to dramatically increase test scores and reduce chronic absenteeism. Students have identified fair discipline as an indicator of feeling cared for by the school. What are some ways schools can discipline fairly and as a way to teach students new patterns of behavior? And so I thought that was a really good question. It's another one that needs completely unpacked, mm-hmm. right? Because we were talking about student connections, increase test scores, and decrease absenteeism.
Right.
We've got fair discipline as an indicator of feeling cared for. So now the question is, what are some ways schools can use discipline fairly and a way to teach students new patterns of behavior?
Right.
So she's violating rules that I have also violated. Anyway.
But I think it's like providing some of that consistency and help.
Yes.
And as long as the students know, I think it goes a long way if students know you truly are care about them and are invested in them. And I think if you can get them to buy in that you are doing that, I think they're willing to sort of take consequences for being ding-dongs.
I agree. Dr. April Grace, who is at Shawnee Soup on the Twitter, she says, fresh starts every single day go a long way with students. As building administrator, I sometimes would ask a student, so what do you think about the consequences for this situation? Which I think is huge, mm-hmm. just so you know. Mm-hmm. She says, consistency is huge, and new mercies every day go a long way with students. Take time to discuss with students, not just hammer.
Hammer.
Hammer emoji.
Dropping the hammer. I went with,
and so, I mean, she said several good things here, like the consistency piece that we had already been talking about. But I love the idea of fresh starts every single day. You know, I need one every single day for darn sure.
Yeah, me too. And sometimes it's hard, especially when a kid really got you all twisted the day before. I mean, just because you're human, you're like, I'm still grumpy with you.
Hey, Dad. Yeah.
Right.
So Dale Chu, who is at Dale_Chu, he said, as the question suggests, discipline is about teaching rather than punishing. This should be the aim of all schools when it comes to student behavior. Righto. Right? We want to teach and help through the learning process here, not just punish, punish, punish.
Well, I mean, and if you punish, 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 are they learning to hate school more than they might already?
Right. It's hard to, you know,
what is the reason that they're acting out or being a jerk for the day? You know, is it something that happened outside of school that they're bringing to school? You know, and so, I don't know. We just have to be mindful of our students all the time.
Right. Q6, social connections are another indicator of students' sense of belonging at school. Oftentimes, students who experience trauma feel socially isolated and have low sense of school connectedness. How can your role at school influence students having positive social connections?
Oof.
She asks all the hard questions. Dang.
It's like she might know what she's talking about.
I think
and
so.
Get us to dig a little deeper here. I went with Aub here, and she is at Aubrey Noel 2 on the Twitter sphere. She said, let your kids talk to each other. Your students should know everyone's name and something about them. Make time for it. Again, morning meetings are perfect. Let them talk as they work through and work together. And she mentioned morning meetings earlier in the chat.
Right.
That's why I'm sitting here again. But use morning meeting time to you know, identify students and what they're into, and so that everybody knows, and that way we can make connections, you know, outside of just the classroom.
Yeah. And her tweet was so good, I chose it too. So,
oh my gosh.
So, question seven.
Yes.
By the way, I just want to point out here that for question seven, all Christy Cooper did was post pictures of what her kids do.
Oh, like five times over.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
So, what is question seven, Aaron?
Question seven. Students identify feeling empowered as a strong indicator in school connectedness. How do you empower student voice in your school or classroom? Follow up to that question within the question. how do or can you empower student voice in the community? So I thought that was a great question. Scott, you know me.
I think so.
Okay. So one thing Aaron doesn't do well.
There's not very many things.
Right. Well, so one thing she doesn't do well is read.
What?
You do know that too, because we've re-recorded question five 4 times. So when I first heard the idea of flipping the classroom,
yeah,
I was like, oh, that sounds like students doing the teaching.
Okay.
I did not research flipping the classroom by any means. And I was like, oh, flipping the classroom, let's let the students teach. And so I would let them choose how they wanted to present their ideas.
Okay.
And it was awesome. Now, I don't recommend this for everything because they get it wrong. You know, I was wrong initially in what I was doing, but I found a way to make it right. But giving them voice in how they prove their mastery was probably one of the biggest feeling empowered moments that I could give my kids.
But what you did was good. I mean,
no, I mean, it was, but it was not flipping the classroom.
Something else.
And we failed quite a bit initially because, you know, students don't necessarily know what they're doing to be able to do the teaching.
Right. So. It can be hard, especially if they're not used to doing it.
Yeah. Anyway.
So I went with Michelle Waters. She's at Waters English. She said, I remind students they have a voice and that I am providing them with tools they need to use that voice. I tell them what they have to say is important, and I listen so they can see that again. I still need to work on getting better about this. And she has the whole invisible voices thing going too.
Yes.
So, yes. So really Michelle is like wearing it where it counts on that one.
Well, and she's got a Facebook group. I mean, like this woman is busy. Mm-hmm. Busier than me probably.
And she's busy trying to give her students a chance to be heard.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. I chose Amber McMath here, and she is at Mrs. McReading on the Twitter. She said, recommend the chapter of Innovator Mindset by George Kuros that discusses engagement versus empowerment. Empowerment should be the new normal. That was a great book. I actually got it back out to, you know, kind of go over that again. She is right. And I mean, especially if you've got like middle school, high school kids, assigning this one chapter would be super impactful.
Mm-hmm. It's a
I like where she's going there.
Yeah, and I like that book too. I don't think enough educators could buy into that because he's really talking about a sort of a different view of the education.
Yeah.
Model.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I like it. It's right up my alley. Q8, students feel more connected to the classroom when they do well. All students are on a continuum of learning. Rewarding a variety of student achievements and recognizing student progress can be empowering. How do you celebrate all student achievement and progress? How do you encourage students that make mistakes that they're okay?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. I mean, but you and I, we've talked about failure and letting that be kind of a success also.
Right.
So I think you and I would be preaching to each other. I've seen a lot of people talking about middle schoolers these days getting gold stars, like those old school,
the old school gold stars.
Yeah. I mean, like 3 times I've heard it in like the last 2 weeks about getting stars. And so
what's old is new is getting.
Exactly. It's like bell bottoms coming back around. No, scrunchies. Scrunchies are back in.
Who knew?
I'm so excited. Anyway, I picked Kimberly Blodgett for this one. She says, it's important for me as their teacher to own my mistakes in front of them, to not pretend it didn't happen. I model how to make a mistake and how it's okay and how to learn from it. I thought that was awesome.
I think that's something that teachers in general need to embrace. I mean, because we want to look so perfect in front of our kids and just learning, life, whatever. It's not. So how do we adjust and learn from failure? I think the more we can model that for our kids, the better we are going to be.
Yeah.
Renee Bell, she is at BioBell Rocks, and she said, I teach AP and pre-AP classes. They are hard.
Hard.
But we struggle together. If you get it, help someone who doesn't. If none of us get it, we look it up and figure it out together. Every mistake or failure is an opportunity to learn.
Man, she's good.
Yeah, I like her. That Del City's got something good going in there.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you offline. No, I'll tell you now. I heard somebody yesterday in class being like, man, Del City, it's like, it's hard to get in there. Like, you have to know somebody to get in there. And I was just like, that's so fun. Yeah. Like, you know. Like, people want to be there. Like, you know, anyway.
Starts.
I bet you get a lot of applications.
Starts at the top, Dr. Cobb.
Yeah, no, and that's, I didn't say anything, but I wanted to be like, I know a few people.
I know some people. I'm doing it again for the second time.
I know a couple people. Anyway, so question 9. Increasing school connectedness is not the responsibility of any one person in a school. In order to see behavior change, we need a school-wide culture change. What are some collaborative relationships you have in your school or community to work towards students feeling more connected to school? Or what relationships would you like to see? That's a great question.
Yeah.
I know that there are churches that kind of give to schools or time or, you know, snacks, stuff like that.
Right.
'Cause I know my church does that. And I know we are in collaboration with another church. Like, they adopt different schools here in Sepulpa. I have seen STEM opportunities mm-hmm. from different companies. So there are things out there. But I'd love to see more.
Yeah.
You know, connecting things to the real world.
I wonder if it's a case of people don't know how to do that. Like,
how to connect?
Yeah, you know, like, because schools have always done their one thing. Communities have always supported schools, but not quite in this connection sort of way. But like, here's our tax dollars, or here we'll do this bake sale for the whatever fundraiser. But not in a way that is intimate with, like, we're stepping in here now to do a thing.
Right.
I think it's a unique space.
Well, I went with a Kristen Ashley tweet here, and she says, I love admins. I love it when they're seen around the building regularly. My husband believes in this strongly, and her husband is at Johnny Curriculum, mm-hmm. for those of you who don't know.
No longer, moment of silence for no more Johnny Curriculum. Okay.
Okay, that was long enough. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. Love you. Anyway... He said,
He takes his laptop to classrooms and
strongly,
works.
Thank you. He does. He takes his laptop to classrooms and works. Is in the hall consistently, and he wants to be connected all day long. He does the parking lot principal
yep.
thing, and is always talking to kids out there. I love her calling him out on that, because he's not here to call himself out. It also reminded me of Rob Miller.
Mm-hmm.
I went and shadowed him one day a couple of years ago, and it just happened to be on a Friday. That guy is in the hallway every Friday, high-fiving kids all morning long. Like, my hands, both of them, were kind of like red and itchy at the end, because I was like high-fiving too.
I need the Purell. Where's the Purell?
I please get some. No, I don't mind germs. I like germs. But anyway, he was high-fiving every single kid. It was awesome.
That's great. Now he's running the show up there somewhere.
In Bixby.
Bixby, yeah. Good job. So Madeline Shields, she's at made_Shields. She said, I love seeing cross-grade leadership. We just started book buddies with kindergartners. It's amazing how students' disposition changes when they are the quote-unquote big kid.
So I don't know what grade they're working with there. Maybe fifth grade. I've seen a lot of fifth grade to kindergarten type stuff. But I've seen some really jerky fifth graders completely change their disposition and be like the big man on campus who loves on mm-hmm. their little kid, mm-hmm. you know? I'm like, man, who are you?
Right.
Who are you? Anyway.
Yeah, it's awesome when they get the chance to do that. And I remember my own kids talking about how they were able to read as older elementary students. They had a kindergartner that they were paired up with that they got to read to, and they liked doing that. So
yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Question 10. When present, student connection is a rewarding part of education. When lacking, student connection can feel defeating. All educators have been there, and that is okay. What are your self-care strategies for those times when student connections feel difficult?
So, I don't think Todd Gregg has one of those self-care strategies, but he has a good thing he's doing. He says, a year ago I was there, I had moved to a more student-centered approach and more group work over lecture. I felt it was harder to connect. I reached out to former students and asked what made the connection so strong with them. And I thought that that was brilliant of him to reach out to former students, because we could easily sit in our ivory towers, mm-hmm. you know, and just know what we're doing or not change anything.
Right.
But reaching out and saying, hey, what worked and what didn't for you? That's, you know, it's a humble approach, and I think that that's just brilliant.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Just getting feedback from other students. What was it that made this connection strong?
Yeah. Like, what did we do here mm-hmm. that you really got that?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So I went with Mrs. S at Kindergarten Rocks. She said, and she was talking about self-care. She said, quiet time to reaffirm myself. Zumba and French fries help too. Now, I don't know very much about Zumba, but French fries, I know a place or two to get some good fries.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. Sidebar. Are you a like shoestring French fry guy, or are you like the big thick potato French fries?
I'm not really a French fry connoisseur, but I do enjoy them. So how about that?
That's okay. There are places that I'm like, I don't want to eat there. Their fries are little bitty, and you have to eat five of them, and then I'm just OCD enough that they kind of got to all be the same size and shape.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
And so then I'm like, oh, it's just too much work to eat their fries. Thank you.
Smashburger rosemary fries, though, are pretty good.
They're good, but they're the shoestring ones. Yeah, they're the little bitty
they're
ones.
They're sort of on the smaller side, but the rosemary whatever is really good.
Can somebody with thicker fries please pick up on that? Because you're right, they are really stinking good. But I just want to pick up one French fry and eat it.
So like the McDonald's size French fries, about right?
No.
Too small?
No. I like crinkle cut French fries are pretty perfect.
Like Chick-fil-A?
They've got those waffle ones. I could do waffle ones too,
Yeah. They're waffle. Crinkle cut like Brahms. Brahms fries?
Brahms is perfect.
Okay.
They've got perfect fries at Brahms.
So now that we've spent 5 minutes talking about the best fry, boom sauce tweet, Aaron.
Well, I was actually really bummed because I said it already. It was my question 8 answer as well. And so it's Kim Blodgett when she says it's important to own mistakes, make mistakes, mm-hmm. and pretend they didn't happen. So I just thought that was worth mentioning twice then.
Yeah, there you go. I went with Jessica Robinson at J. Rob, and she was one of our State Teacher of the Year finalists.
Woo!
Shout out to the art teacher in UConn who won it all.
Good. Yes.
That's a cool thing for her. So our AP lit motto, this is back to Jess Rob. She says, our AP lit motto, we don't just read dead white guys.
Right.
And that's the motto. And she says, we have to be intentional about creating an environment that supports diversity, not just in curriculum, but by giving them choices as well. Them being the students.
I love that. So, that's great.
Let's hear it for dead white guys. Rock on.
So next week on the Twitter chat, we got Kim Blodgett, and here's the thing, Kim, I'm calling you out.
Oh, do the interview. Do it.
Would you just talk to me? You are not going to mess up. I'll give you the questions ahead of time. Okay. That's horrible. I'm calling her out. And what if she's like, no, I can't, I'll do it. anyway, she's going to be hosting next week's Twitter chat at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on Sunday. I'm sure it's going to be great.
Her chats are always pretty meaty.
They're fun.
Yeah. And she's the original multi-question questioner.
Yes, she
is. So there's always stuff to talk about with her chats. Always.
Always. All right. Well, until then.
All right.
All right.
All right, educators, you know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
Pizza. You're going to be burping all over the place.
Blech.
Ew. You got your pizza down?
I'm going to just put my finger up here and reread all of that.
That was so bad.
Maybe I should go back to fourth grade and try it all again.
I'm on my third margarita, too. It's okay.
Can I get just words to come out of my mouth?
One too many podcasts today for us.
Okay. You want to know something?
Monetize that.
It's a kind of magic. Magic.
Saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.